Mishnah, the best person ever. It says in the Gemara, they wanted to add another one. They'll say, ooh, another one. So it came a Baskam in the Shemai, and they said, Baskam is the Shlomo HaMelech. They said, Shlomo HaMelech should make such, he is the greatest man that in the world that he could have been Mashiach. And he did an Avera, and all of a sudden he said, Nadab and Noshim, and so forth, all the three things. And so they want to take this out, and if he, according to his greatness, lose all the gold. So it says that Baskal came and said that Shlomo HaMelech will have all the gold. He cannot take him out. Why? Because he built his own house 30 years, and he built the Samikdash 7 years. It means he considered the Samikdash greater than his own house. So his first reference was Mezaris, the Rizus. Aziz ish moya bimalachta lifnei melochem yisyatzer. A person who is in a hurry to do his work, he will stand up before kings. That means that because of the special reasons from a man of built for the Samikdash, in comparison to the house that he built for himself, this is the reason that you cannot take him off of now. Now that's a very, very difficult reason to know. I cannot explain it now, except to point out, since we are all in the concept of Zerizis. If I do a mitzvah, to do it right away, not to be lazy. Shlomo HaMelech has written a whole Sefer on laziness. I don't know if you know. Concept in Sefer Mishlei, but the Otzer. That's the Otzer. Laziness. I want to do a mitzvah, do it immediately. I have a machshava tova, immediately carry it out. Immediately. Don't wait. The Zerizis is a kinyan b'nefesh to such an extent you can never lose the Olam. Whatever you do, you cannot lose it. Zerizis is this. Why that should be so, it's not up to discussion at this moment. And I want to bring out one of the great discoveries that we are now going to make. After the Shkofu, runs the world in a very interesting fashion. He told us Jewish history. How long is it from the birth of Avraham, to Yetzias Mitzrayim in Matan Torah? 500 years. 400 years from Yitzchak's birth, Avraham was 100 years old. 50 yovel. 500 years. How long is it from Matan Torah till Vatishlam Kol HaMelech? 500 years. 480 years in Seif Nei Zmei Mitzrayim, 7 years in Samikdash, 13 years. 13 years his own house. Vatishlam, it was finished with Shlomo HaMelech on the pinnacle of his greatness. At the pinnacle of his greatness. This was exactly by Chal Eskol Beis. Now figure out how long is it from this moment, the Chalitz Kol Beisa, till the rebuilding of the second Samikdash? 500 years. The Samikdash stood for 410 years. The Torah, 70 years. It took 20 years. That was the one day of the year of Koresh. And Koresh. First comes the Yovesh, the Amodai, and then comes 3 years of Torah, and 40 years of Achashverosh, and then in the second year of the Yovesh and Achashverosh, the Samikdash was built. So in other words, here began another strange. I once, many years ago, 40 years ago, in the middle of the night, these thoughts occurred to me. I got up, I was afraid, I forget it. I got out and wrote it down. I said, never forget it. It just occurred to me. Now go further. From this moment on, how long did the second Samikdash stand? 420 years. 420 years. And it was so that you have to know. Rabbi Chesed, Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Anosi, and finished the Mishnah. It was 80 years after the Samikdash, another 5. So you see, there's a plan. Now, I don't know how it goes further. How it goes further. But there's a plan. There's a plan. You see, five years interval. How we've got this Jewish history is not like ordinary history. Because with a plan, maybe one day we'll understand the Golus history, in which way it went. But there's a plan. So now we begin something, and I admit to you, but all these next two chapters or so, I don't understand. I have no, I'm not an architect, I can't draw, I cannot have a, I don't have a visual mind. There are some books written with pictures, pictures it says here in the Rabak, Hine la ve'inu perish yoes l'zeh. The whole description that comes now, you have no real perish for them. Yeah, I don't understand, there's a tremendous Rashi. I admit my ignorance, I don't understand it, and I cannot learn it. I only go and give you a preview and an introduction into it. First of all, we find that Shlomo HaMelech was building his own house. His own house was like this. From his house to the Beis HaMikdash was a building called Beis Yah HaLevon. The house of the forest of the Lebanon. Beis HaLevon. The Beis HaMikdash was called Levona. Why was it called Levona? The Chazal says, Shemalbin Avon Hussein to Israel. It whitens, it bleaches the bonus of Israel. Of course, that's the drush. But the real reason is simple, because it was built for cedars of Levona. There were thousands of trees from the Levona. Thousands of trees from the Levona. So the whole Beis HaMikdash says everything was covered with arosim in the Levona. So at the Beis HaMikdash was called Beis HaLevona. But in front of the Beis HaMikdash was a Beis Yah HaLevona. A Beis Yah HaLevona means, of course, we have to think of the Chotzer, everything was closed. After the Beis HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis was all closed up. Then from the Har HaBayis to the place where Shlomo lived, there was a Beis Yah HaLevona. It was a tremendous long thing, Meir Amma Orka, 100 Ames in length, Mishim Amma Rokba, even as Beis HaLevona, Meir Orka, Mishim Amma Rokba, Shlosh Amma Kamomas, Al Abo Ture Amude Arosa. That means there were four rows of pillars of cedar trees. He took cedar trees, one row of cedar trees, another four rows. Now, Ukrusas Arosim Al Amudim, and these rows were with cut boards of cedar trees were on the Amudim to cover them. And then Sofun Be'eres Minmar, then it was Sofun is always the ceiling. It was covered with cedar on top. Al Hatzloas on the sideboards. You have to think as if you think of columns, one or the other. The columns are connected to the sideboards. And the pillars. You have a column of pillars. The pillars are connected to sideboards, and each pillar is connected to the next pillar in the second column with what we just learned, krusas, also cut pieces of cedar wood. So, on top of it, it was covered, it was a ceiling of cedar wood. Halat floors, asher lemudim, aboy mechamisha. There were 45 of these coverings, because Hamisha also had two. There were 15 on each row, 15 on each row, and you have, when you think of a building like this, where you have four rows, it was no building, it was open. It was open space. There were no walls on the side. It was four rows, so the inside of the four rows, there's a space of three spaces. The spaces were covered with cedar wood. There was pillars of cedar wood, and you can walk through. It was supposed to be, and they say, like a to cool off for columns of cedar wood covered. When it's hot, you can cool off there, you can walk between the columns. So this was a lengthy architectural marvel, and it was all made of cedar wood. Everything was made of cedar wood. And there were 15 times it was covered. Now, on the Shkufim, Shlosha Tuvim. That means here, Ketuvim is window frames, three rows of window frames. Umechaso el mechaso sholash ba'omim. I don't know what it means. Most probably means there were windows, mechaso, where you can look one, three windows on top of the other. Can you imagine that between the columns, there were frames, and the frames were smaller frames, and three columns, three windows, one on top of the other, interspersed with beams of cedar wood, and they were facing each other, so that allows the air to come in. All the doors and all the mezuzahs, the doorposts, were square frames. Sheishkufim means frame, and Rabuim means square frames. Umul mechaso and mechaso sholosh ba'omim. Three times there were windows. Windows means just open spaces, but in a frame, three times probably three in a row. It could that mean. It could also mean that since you have these columns, the columns that were somewhere in between the columns were these frames. I do not know. This I do not know. And then comes, I only want to say in general, what he built. That was the first building. The first building was the so-called the house built, called the forest of the Levon. The next thing is Veskulam Huamudim. Before that was an Ulam. It means actually a porch. Here it means a front building of Amudim of columns. Ose made it Chamishim Amo Orko, Chloshim Amo Rochbo. So that means first went the Levonon, then came an Ulam Huamudim of pillars. It doesn't say that they were made of cedar wood. It doesn't say so. They were just columns, maybe columns of stone. As columns of stone, 50 amas long, shalasha amas roch. The ulam alpinei, there came a third ulam in front of them, a third of them, the amudim, the of alpinei, and beam and pillars, and tight wood was on in front of them. So in other words, you have here four structures. Base halvona one. The next then comes a base ulam ha'amudim, number two. The third is called ulam. The fourth is called amudim ba'of. And then comes that the fifth is now ulam ha'kisei, a special great room where the throne of Shlomo was standing. Hashem yishpocham. Upon sitting upon the throne, he would pronounce judgment. Then, in front of that was Ulam Hamishpat. That's similar to what we have, the Sanhedrin, Mishnah, Sarkozis, Nekvis, Amikus. That was the place for the base Hamishpat. One was Shlomo HaMelech, because he was judging on the throne. Then there was Ulam Hamishpat for the Sanhedrin also. The Sofun Be'eretz, and that was also covered with cedar tree, mehakarka, akakarka, from the floor to the floor. Most probably, it was like a large dome of cedar from the floor to the floor. It was all a ceiling of cedar trees. And then, where did Shlomo HaMelech live? So far we have now, we say, built his own house. Where was his own house? Ubeisa sheyeshim shom. And the house in which he was living, that was the other courtyard inside of the ulam, which means like this. The ulam ha-mishpat was the Sanhedrin, and the people had to come in through a big chotzer. So there was one chotzer for the Sanhedrin, where the people came in, and the other chotzer, in that chotzer, there was Shlomo HaMelech's house. That's the way he built. In other words, there were six and buildings. Oh, beautiful, it took 30 years to build. I mean, pieces of art of the highest degree. The Ahal Bonan, then came the Ulam HaMudim, then came another Ulam, which we don't know anything about. Then came only, no Ulam, but just HaMudim off. Then came the Ulam HaKiseh, then came the Ulam HaMishpat, with the Chotzer, And there was one chotzer for people, chotzer acheres, and the other chotzer, that's where his house was. Uchemase hazeh, ubeis hashir, yeah. Uchemase hazeh hoyo, that was the same, built in the same fashion. That means probably also we see the word. Ubeis yase le basparo, and he wanted to make a house for the basparo, shaloka shlomo, which Shlomo took, ulam azeh, like this ulam. Now there was another house, but later on it says that he said, he said it wasn't proper that the daughter of Pharaoh should live in the holiness of his Hamikdash, so he built it some other place. So Yasin must mean he intended to build it exactly in the same place. Now, it says, the Rabak says, and it's absolutely true, there is no Peres Yod. Nobody, none of the Mephoshim helps out. You give a Peres, the only thing that one could say that we have six aspects of the Neshama. We say Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Yechida, Chaya, Neshama Yisrael. So these are corresponding to the six aspects of the Neshama. And the highest is the Shema Yisrael, Hasafes Yaham Bona, goes all the way down, and then the place of the Mishpat, that's the Nefesh, that's compared to the Nefesh, Ulam HaKiseh, that's the Ruach, and then comes the Ulam Amudim, and so on, that's the Shema. And that's very interesting. Shlomo builds his palace. That's the last considered his own house. The king builds a tremendous house. His own house was in the courtyard of the Sanhedrin. Which is in itself gives one a lot of food for thought. But what he thought of a house of a king. A house of a king is actually a room inside the Sanhedrin. Notice it's supposed to be absolute mishpat. Beis HaMishpat, his own personal conduct is supposed to be under the jurisdiction of something like somebody in the Sanhedrin. You can't do wrong. You're right inside the Sanhedrin. That's the Chotzer Acheres. One side is the people, the other is the king. The people and the king are equally under the controls of the Sanhedrin. And so it's the Sanhedrin. That was his idea. And we wonder that this is the man who wrote Shir HaShirim. So we only wonder why he did the other things wrong. It's hard to understand. Because imagine the greatness of Shlomo HaMelech building such architectural things for probably all symbolic reasons. Through the architecture, he was expressing the loftiest chokhmahs and ideas and so forth. Most probably some people at his time knew all about it. Since nothing has been reported, we cannot make it up our own ideas. There is no parish, but we just have to take it like this. I don't think they were made. No, the plans of Beis HaMikdash were made by David HaMelech and David HaMelech HaPianovi, and all come from Hasina. And yes, this was his own idea. His own idea of his own chokhmah. For Elo, all these Avonim Koras were made with precious stone, or heavy stones, could also be Kemidos Gozes. Gozes are the Quadrestein. These are the huge big blocks, hewn out, and they all have a certain size. More robust than the beginning. At the time of the Mishnah, Gozes was a certain size. For the time of the Tanakh, and these stones were Megoruros Bamegero. They were polished with a stone polisher, and special implements, tools, by which the stones were polished, were not rough. The bays and the chutz, inside and outside. Sometimes you have a building where the outside are rough stones, the inside are smooth stones. This was inside and outside, the stones were polished. Mimasot atata bruchas, referring to the stones from the foundation to the top of the roof. Tapor is the top of the roof. So the foundation stones usually are sunk in the ground. They're usually rough stones. You don't bother to make them smooth. there was a Shmita. For reasons we also don't understand, there must have been reasons. Umichutz adechutz ha'gedola. And that means from the outside to the great chotzer. We do not know what that means. It could mean umichutz adechutz ha'gedola, probably meaning that from the outside, the furthest end of his building, to the great chotzer, which is the chotzer Beis HaMikdash. It was adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash. So from the outside, from the furthest extreme on one side to the where the his building was adjoining the Beis HaMikdash, everything was done with stones which were hewn in with megaroros, megero means polished with stone polisher. Now this is where we learned already the machlokas of Tanoim. And the Mora says it's Mistaba that when he talked of the stones of Beis HaMikdash, the stones were not ever touched by tools of iron, while the stones for his own house were. So that seems to be the simple pshat here in the closest to. And then it says, Umiyusat Avonim Yikoros, and the foundation, now he goes back with especially heavy stones, Avonim Gedolos, big stones. Avne Esa Amos, Avne Shmona Amos. Alternating stones, 10 Amos long and 8 Amos long. These are tremendous stones. Now, this is about 15 feet. Is 8 Amos, Shmona Amos. Tremendous. And the others are furthermore, almost 20 feet. Tremendous stones. These were the foundation stones. Milamala on top of it, Avonim Yekoros, there were heavy stones, but not that heavy. There were Kamidas Gozes, according to the measurements of the Gozes, were Ores, and then, of course, always the cedarwood, but which was probably the layers between the stones made of cedarwood. The Chotza Hagdolo, Soviv, and then he had around his whole complex that he was building, there was a tremendous Chotza, a tremendous courtyard, Shloshet Turim Gozes, built of 3 rows of hewn stones, but 2 in one row, Krusas Arozim, cut boards of cedarwood, Chatzabes Hashem HaPnimis Ulamabois. And by the way, that what is now described as his Chotza, the same was used for the Chotza of the Beis Hashem, is the Azoro, Ulama boys, it means there was a chotza around the Azorah, and then inside there was a smaller chotza before the Ulam was also built in the same fashion, tremendously heavy stones as a foundation, and smaller stones also gozes, the midas are gozes on top, and then cedarwood interspersing the whole thing. So this is the framing, frame on top of it. So this was that's the end. From now on, we begin. They go back to the description of Beis HaMikdash, because this was the end. That's the end of the description of the 30 years of building his own house. Now we have something else which was added to the Beis HaMikdash. Andrew's Amigdish was, first of all, 2 columns, Shlomo HaMelech, Yochanan Baruch, of copper, and there was added to the Amigdish a Yam Shel Shlomo, instead of the simple kiyah which Moshe Rabbeinu made, was made a tremendous basin called Yam Shel Shlomo. Then there were added 10 menorahs, 10 smaller menorahs, and 10 shulchanos, smaller shulchanos, but this was built by a special craftsman who was Chiram, not Tiram the king, but Tiram, the person called Tiram. That's it, Shem HaFran in it. Ryan, Posey Yud Gim. The last word was the Ulam Haboy. It is actually the end of the description of Shlomo HaMelech's house. And now we continue to discuss, to learn about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash itself was built, but there were additional things which had to be built. And since the last word was that Shlomo HaMelech made certain a big chotzer, which was made in a certain way, and the last word was that the same method that he applied to his own chotzer, the walls, were also the type of a building which applied to Ulam HaBoyz. Therefore, he brings now something that was done for the Ulam HaBoyz. The Ulam of the Beis HaMikdash, Rishon, had contained two columns, two great pillars, two pillars actually, which were not in the second Beis HaMikdash, and it's not mentioned that there will be in the third Beis HaMikdash, only in the first Beis HaMikdash. And the copper, made out of copper, this is explained now. That's why the Posuk follows and says, Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo, Melech Shlomo sent a message to Vayikach as Chiro Mitzo. And he brought Chirom Mitzo. Now we should not mistake this Chirom with the Melech Chirom. And so it happened that all kings in Chirom were called Chirom. But Chirom, this Chirom is a good Jewish person. He also had them the same name. Just like the Jews in Germany were called Wilhelm, because the Kaiser had a Wilhelm. So the king of Tsar was Chirom, and the Jews they were also called Chirom. So it was probably a name which was common in those days, both for Israel and for Musa'olim. There are certain names which we do find that Musa'olim have certain names that you have in Israel itself. We find Korach, and we find Shmuel, and we find whatever is done, we find various names that Musa'olim also had. So this was Chirom. He was not the male Chirom at all. But Ben Isha Almono, he was the son of a widowed woman, who he Mimati Nachtov. Very strange sentence. Ben Isha Almono, who Mimati Nachtov. Now we have compare this with Pusik in Divre Hayomim, where this is also brought. The same person, and there it says in Divrei Hayomim that he was Oviv Minaktoli. That he was a son of a man from Naphtali. It says Beperish that he was a son of a man in Naphtali. Now the Chazal say Ben Isha Almona, in Divrei Hayomim it says Ben Isha. I'm making a mistake. Ben Isha Almona Mivnaus Don. That's the posting in Divrayim. A son of a widowed woman from the daughters in Don. Here it says, Ben Isha Almona Hu Mimate Naftoli. Now the word Hu is the explanation, which means, Oviv Minaftoli in Imam Midon. So we have to say like this. He was Ben Isha Almona. So comes Divrayim, that's a parish on Melochim, and says, he was the son of a widowed woman, and the widowed woman was from the daughters of Don. But who? He himself was Mimate Naphtali, that means his father was from Naphtali, his mother was from Don. So this is and here it says just simple, Ben Isha Almona who Mimate Naphtali, since all follows the father, the Mate follows the father, was Mate Naphtali. But Oviv and his father, Ish Tzauri, was a man of Tzor. It means he lived in Tzor. He lived in Tzor. That's where the copper, he was a Chorish Nechoshes, a coppersmith. So why he lived in Tzor, we don't know. Tzor is very close to the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't belong to Eretz Yisrael. That's Tyre. That's today the same. That's directly across the border from Eretz Yisrael. So it was a famous city, Chiro Melech Tzor. It was one of the ancient cities, and probably for good business reasons. This was where all the merchants that came there from all over the world, the boats came, and it was a tremendous city. This is the main Tzor and Sidon, but Sidon itself. That was the main port of the Phoenicians. All the influence the Phoenicians had on Europe, so it all came in Tzor. This was the capital of Phoenicia. So probably he's a coppersmith, and when he lives there, the people that appreciate his work, and then he could make a lot of money. So it was called an ish tzori. Vayimolei, and now we're going back to this to the tziram. This tziram was filled as a chokhmo, as a tvuno, as a das, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Lasas kol melocha b'choshes, in order to do all work in copper. Vayova el hamelech Shlomo, and since Shlomo sent for him, he came to the king Shlomo. Vayas is kol melachto, did all his work. Now kol melachto is the same meaning as we say is kol domo yishpach al amizbeah. We say first to make the zerika. It's kol domo means all that's of the left of the blood. A little bit of the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeah. It's kol domo, and the rest of it, all the blood, was then poured on the bottom on the mizbeah. Here's the same thing. It says all kinds of things Shlomo had already done before. But there were a lot of things that had to be done. So it means all other things that Shlomo wanted to be done with the Mikdash were done by Chiram Melatzor. By Chiram, Yitzor, not Melatzor. Chiram. Now, let's go back to the beginning and find out that the Gemara in Erechim says the following. Umar Rabbi Yochanan, Menayin Shlo Yishane Odom, Umunosau, Umunos Abos. If in a family is a certain trade, it means father and forefather and so forth, generations are specialists in a certain particular profession, a certain trade, the child shall continue that. These people are experts, they have experience for many years, and he shall continue. He will be matzliach in that thing. The parents all did such and such a thing, grandparents, great grandparents. Here's the same story. That's why the Torah wants to mention it, that his father is also a coppersmith. But there's a difference. That's now bearing on the story. He happened to be a coppersmith. His name was Biff. So I have to tell his father also was a coppersmith. From what? So it says here, we learn from here, that if your father's matzliach, and probably your grandfather, so within a certain professional state, continue, you also be matzliach. Shenema v'yisra hamir ha'shaloma yidah spir mitzvah. And then we learn something else, that the mother was from Don, and who conceived, and it says, Ma ani ine nusati ito is olio benachisomoch the mate Don. Means from the father's side, he was a coppersmith's son. From the mother's side, was a great-great-grandson from another coppersmith who is mentioned in the Torah, who was also, he was Holiof ben Achisomoch, the Matriton. So there were coppersmiths from father's side and mother's side. This man was chosen to bring the Beis Hamikdash to completion and to do a lot of things, especially things that have to do with copper. Of course, the two columns were made of copper. The Yamsh of Shlomo was made of copper. And a lot of the other embellishments were made of copper. You find in the Mishkan, the Chotzer, all the implements were made of copper. Mizbeach HaNechoshet was copper. It's all from copper. So Rabbi Nish explains that we have these three madregas. Zohar is the purest, highest madrega, and copper is the lowest madrega. And the in-between is the kesef. The word chosef means to yearn for. That is the yearning for coming from the ignoble to the noble. From the lower to the higher. Nichsof, nichsafto, beisavicha. You've been homesick. Beisavicha, yearning for something. So these are the three madregas. He was a coppersmith. And that was the madrega for all people. That was Zohar is a tremendous legend, especially the Kohen Gadol, the Greek Zohar. He symbolizes the purest form of Kedushas Yisrael. But the copper is the Am Yisrael, that's the Klal Yisrael. Pure copper, beautiful copper. It says when you get the Memorah, the Nochash Memorah, the Nochash Memorah, when you rub it and polish it, it looks like gold. So we had the Beis HaMikdash, and the third Beis HaMikdash, we had the special doors which led to the Azor, which is the same as the Kotzeh, the Beis HaMikdash were copper doors, the Shari Nikla, made of copper. They shined like gold. So here see, the Madrega of a simple Yisrael is not a Kohen, is not nothing by birth, nothing distinguishes him, but belongs to Yisrael when you polish it. China, politics. You can have the Madrega, reach the Madrega of gold. Now, it says here in the Yalta Shimoni, Umar Rab Levi B'Shem Rab Tiyah B'Chanin. At the Motze, you find out, Kishenase HaMishkon, Shnei Shavotim O Yeshut Kumulach. The Mishkon was made by two people, so two Shavotim were partners. Shifta Shel Yehuda, the Tzalel, Mata Yehuda, Bezalit, the Shifta Shel Don, Oholio, Ben Achisomo, the Mata Don. Yeah? We don't know, and it could be, and most probably it is, that you can learn the Gemara in Erech and Prakha. The Chaim, the Mnechus Beis HaMikdash, was Ben Isha Mibnos Don, and Shlomo Ben Dovid, the Mata Yehuda. A combination of Shlomo Ben Dovid, and Matan. But the reason is in Medrash Rabbe, Umar Rabbe Chanina ben Pazin, Ein Loch Godal Meshevet Yehuda. Of all the Shvotim Yisrael, the highest and holiest Yehuda, the Kota, Shevet Yehuda, is the Malchus. Ein Loch Yorut Meshevet Don. And nobody is as low as the Shevet Don. Shehoye Mibnei HaShvochos, the Don comes from the Neashvochos. Umar HaKodesh Bo, Yovau Vizdavik Lo, Shlayu Mevazinos. Shlomo Melech, Bezalel, shall come to Elio, or Shlomo shall come together with Hiram, so that they shall not be Mevazim. Say, well, you come from the lowest strata of Jewish society. And the other reason is that the one who comes from Yehuda shall not be arrogant, because if he shall quote Hagodol, show him the Amoko. He wants to show Kotel and Godol, the biggest and the lowest, it's all equal to our Kodeshko. In fact, that's the Kralisko. There's a Mikkash and the Yudha Kralisko, but two representatives. The best one from one end, and the lowest from the other end. So together, this is the whole Tamis of Kumash Leimo. Bezalel Mishel Yehuda, Aliyah Midon, Vuhu Mizdabiklo. Says the Mishkan, Bechein Bimlechus Beis HaMikdash, Nishtat Vashloma HaMelech, Shevet Yehuda, Bechirem Bim Ishim Midnos Don, Kidei Lahoros, to teach you, Shakotan Vahakodal, Shovim Fneyamot. It was so important for some people to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all the same. He created both. So if he wouldn't think that the Kotan is important, why did he create it? It must be, he's Mechaya Shkula. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest of the greatest, the lowest of the lowest, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to exist. So in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is all equal. Now why is in Shevet Don, why should he be the lowest of all the Shvotim? The others were also Bnei Ashkochas. Atoli and Soha, the Soha. No, not the Soha, but God, Oshem. So what is the especially because Don was the Ma'asev L'chol HaMachanos, when they traveled in the Mikvah, the first was Yehuda, he was leading, and the last one, Ma'asev L'chol HaMachanos, was Don. And then we find that Don, Hazel Nicho, as in Shevet Don, and we hear a whole story at the end of Shoftim, the way Don behaved was not very noble. So, but this, you know, this Hiram was a tzaddik gomer. He came from Don. He was a coppersmith, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu combined it with Shlomo HaMelech, a chochem mikol olam. And it says here now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had filled him by yimole es ha chochmo, es ha tmuno, es ha das, Lasas kol melocho banachoshes. What does that mean? In order to do be a coppersmith, I don't think you have to be an absolute idiot, but you don't have to have such a high IQ, because coppersmith is a very good profession, but it doesn't don't have to be a college professor, and don't have the mind of a college professor to be able to work at nice things of art and copper. The same is by the talent, we have the same expression. Mara also said, Chochmo, Bina, and Das. What is Chochmo, Bina, and Das? Are the three implements that went in the creation of the world. Look in Rashi here. Rashi says, Shloshe Kli Umnes. These are the three tools, She'olam Nivru Behem, that the world was created with. She'nema B'chochmo Yosad Olam. Hashem founded the earth with Chochmo. Konen Shemayim Bismuno, he established the heaven Bismuno with Tumuno. That's understanding. But Datao Tahomos Nivko, and so we have here the three expressions in connection with the creation of the world. In fact, when we learn about the Tzalem, we have the Chazal that Tzalem knew to combine the various osios by which Hashem Shmuel created the world. Whatever that means, the osios, means the same wisdom, Chochma, Bina, and Das. These things combined in order to make the Mishkan. Meaning is, of course, that since the Mishkan was a spiritual entity, it was only expressed in the various Klei HaMishkan. So it's in even a higher measure, the Beis HaMikdash itself. There is a Beis HaMikdash Shal Ma'alot. That means there's a spiritual entity, Beis HaMikdash, which we don't understand. It's beyond our understanding. And the Beis HaMikdash Shal Mato expresses in wood, in gold, in stone, in copper, expresses this. So he was not just a coppersmith that he had handy was copper. He was able to combine the loftiest thoughts that can only thought means for today. You would say a person has to be a get mekubel and has to know only the chokhmah nistorah, all the sisrei haTorah. All this was combined. He was filled. The Shmur had filled him. He said he was filled with chokhmah and es haChokhmah, es haTmun, es haDos. Not only es means everything that belongs to the concept of chokhmah. Everything belongs to the concept of Tmuna and Das. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled him with all this, and then Lasos Kol Melocho Manachoshes, to express all these things, the highest meaning of what Beis HaMikdash Shel Ma'alah means is something that is next to the Kisa HaKovo, and to express that in his Kapper work. So this is a Mendes Madrege is a simple man, nobody ever heard about him. He didn't even live in Eretz Yisrael, but he was known that this person knew that. So we might have to think of the way I explained it, maybe I'm wrong. It's like I'm one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddik. Nobody knew about him, he didn't even live in Eretz Yisrael, this man had a Goyisha name. And on Shlomo HaMelech and his Chochmah knew that this is the man. There's a man who is a Nista, Tzaddik Nista, nobody knows about him. He's just filled Chochmah Bina Das, the greatest Chochmah, lived among Goyim with a Goyish name. He says, you come out. You're the person who has to do this. It's again one of the Chochmahs of Shlomo HaMelech. So that's the way I always feel, that's why he explains the Goyish name, explains the Goyish name. There are some Tzaddikim, they're hiding themselves. There's a really called, they say, because of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, whatever it is. A Nista. They say that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wanted to become a Nista, a famous story. Famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter founded the Musa movement. He wanted to become a Nista. So he wanted to be a Balagol. You know what a Balagol is?
Kutcher.
House and buggy. You know, I still remember Balagol. Very corrupt people. I mean, they're not so nice people. They usually stop in the middle of the road. I remember there was a Lithuanian to say, if you don't pay me enough, you have to pay some more. Let you open it. Yeah, they had a horse and buggy, and I had to go with Balagol. He usually took a person who was a misfit and didn't do anything else. So how can he become a Balagol? Nobody should know who he is. He had a fabulous memory. He first wants to learn the whole Shas by heart, so that he can always learn. He knows the whole Shas. He knew a tremendous memory. He wanted to learn the whole Shas by heart. So then, when he's in the Palagola, he's always learning Gemara. He knows it by heart. Otherwise, how can he be in Yisda and people should? You're not learning. He always learns, except he learns. Learns back. So somehow it didn't work out. He wanted to become a Nisa. Now nobody's ever know he is. There's simply some part like all this. What's it mean? We don't know that. Maybe some people always tell the story and they just go tell it to come to Hanukkah. When I came to America, maybe it was just my imagination. I came to America, it was the first, I remember the first, third day. So that was crossing the Fifth Avenue Broadway where they kept all the way downtown. It was the first time in my life I was standing there. I had to wait for my life to change. There was a street cleaner.